Hey, everybody, and welcome to the You Belong podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Argo, and I'm so glad that you've joined us today because I want you to know that you belong here. No matter what your past or what you've been through, God brought you here for a reason, and we believe that He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Now, let's jump straight into the message, and I pray that God both inspires and encourages you through this word today. Now, we're in the middle of our series. We're actually jumping back into our series called Practicing Faith. Everybody say practice. The last 2 weeks, we've been in Hebrews chapter 10 talking about the let us statements, the let us draw near. And we had a face-to-face encounter on that day, and God met with us down at this altar. We also talked about let us hold fast to the truth, hold fast to what God has spoken over us, what He says about us, and don't let the enemy steal what are the promises and the prophecies over our own lives. Come on, somebody. How many of you during the week, sometimes the enemy tries to steal that from you? He tries to convince you it wasn't real. He tries to convince you it's not happening. But the thing is, we hold fast to that. But then we also talked about let us consider community. Let us not forsake the gathering together of the saints. Not inside of this building, but together outside of this building, encouraging one another. Yes, church is important. Yes, I believe you need to be here every Sunday, every Wednesday. Yes, I believe that you need to be here when we do outreaches, when we're doing kids' crusades. Listen, when we do a kids' crusade and there's 100 kids, come on somebody, running around this house and they're screaming and hollering with lights flashing and puppets going everywhere and candy all over the place and there's snot coming out their nose. Ah! Adults, don't you dare stay home. You know why? It was at kids' crusades that God really touched my heart and showed me what real ministry was. It's not standing on a pool or standing on a stage behind a pulpit, but it's down here wiping noses and showing love to people that don't know what love is. That's what ministry is. It's going out and doing a meal for our first responders and letting them know, hey, we appreciate what you're doing and we appreciate what God is doing through you and we want to bless you. It's ministering to school teachers. Come on, teachers in the house, let me hear you. Come on now. Because Lord knows, y'all kids are crazy and they need help, right? Okay. She didn't say that one too loud. But the kids are crazy nowadays, and they need help. They need somebody to come alongside them. It's us going and taking snacks to their break room. Just writing a thank you card. Going to the janitor at the school and saying, hey, listen, I don't know if you've got cleaning supplies. Here's a bunch of cleaning supplies that we want to supply for you. That's what real ministry is. And we learn that by showing up here at church, but it's also gathering together outside of these doors and being with each other. If you're with me, say I am. We have put these things into practice, and we're going to again today. We're going to spend some time at the altar, drawing near and holding fast and considering community together. But we're continuing this series, but we're digging in a little bit deeper today. And like I said, our text is found in Psalm 119. And then let me tell you a few facts about 119. Psalm 119, many of you already know that Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the entire Bible. I want you to remember something. This is in the book of Psalms. Psalms is a book of songs and poetry. Now, it's not the type of poetry where you lay in a hammock sipping sweet tea with a cool breeze blowing over you and you wait for just peace to fall all over you, okay? That's not what biblical poetry is. Biblical poetry is meant to stir the heart, create imagery in our minds. It's meant to arouse and awake and to shock into life, to make one more alive. That is what biblical poetry is. It is not, how do I love thee? Let me count the ways. That's not the way that's not the kind of poetry we're talking about. This kind of poetry is supposed to encourage us in our walk with God. It's supposed to encourage us to worship. It's supposed to encourage us to grow closer. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the longest book of the Bible. There's a total of 176 verses in this chapter. I'm convinced that whoever wrote this book, or this chapter, had an organizational problem. Let me put it that way. They are so organized in this book, or in this chapter. And the reason why I say that, it has 22 stanzas. 22 different stanzas. Each stanza has 8 verses in each one of those. Now, the reason why, and I'm giving you a little bit of history. I know this is probably not very interesting to you, but to me it was the coolest thing in the world because it shows the creativity of God. The reason why there are 22 stanzas in the book, or in the chapter, is because there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, the original language of the book. And what the author did, the author said, you know what, I'm going to take every letter and I'm going to use every letter to talk about the goodness of God. And in 22 stanzas, in those, he took the first letter, or the letters of each of the Hebrew alphabet, and in the original language, he took it in each verse, like verse 1-8, starts with the very first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Verse 9-16 start with the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and so on and so forth. That takes some organization, y'all. That takes a mind that knows how to put things together. That is dedication. Can we say that? I'm a little bit organized in what I call OCD to me about certain things. My wife makes fun of me when we go to the grocery store. Because as I'm getting things out of the buggy, the first thing I get out is all frozen items. Come on. Brother, you and I need to just, we need to minister to one another after the service. But all the frozen stuff. And then all of the refrigerated stuff. And then I get out all of the canned stuff. And then I get out all of the stuff that is like crushable and that kind of chips, bread, that kind of thing. Why? Because I don't want to put like cans and stuff on top of my bread. I don't want something that is supposed to be frozen against something that's going to thaw it out. I'm very particular. And my wife makes fun of me every single time. I'm that way about a few things. But this guy, when he wrote this, right now, well, listen, we're about to have church, and I'm just going to repent in front of you. But this guy, he was so detailed. The overall message of this entire chapter is the Word of God and the power that it has in our lives. That's what I want to talk to you about today, is the power that God's Word has. No way can we dig into, and no way can we go through all 176 verses today. If you want to, I'll do that. And if you want to do that, just raise your hand and I'll keep you here until next Thursday. Okay? Next Thursday. My tongue is not working properly today. I'm trying to teach in tongues, I guess. But what I'm going to attempt to do today is to give you a very basic, but a very important view of how we need to be in the practice of making the Word a part of our daily lives. Making the Word a part of your daily life. I'm not talking about just getting up, reading a verse, and going on about your day. But I'm talking about daily practicing that Word. See, we're going to look at the second stanza at the Beth section in this particular scripture, verses 9-16. It says this: How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your Word. With my whole heart, I will seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this word. Let your words be powerful, and let my words be few. And let your spirit wrap around this place right now. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. The key question is at the very beginning of this. How do I do this? And have you ever asked that about anything in your life? How am I supposed to do this? How am I supposed to do this particular part of my life? I can't tell you how many times I've asked that question over the years. When it comes to marriage, okay, there are still days I get up and I look at my wife that is sleeping over there just as beautiful and wonderful and just like an angel, like Sleeping Beauty over there on the side. It's like, how in the world am I going to live and be the man of God and the husband that I'm supposed to be? There's been plenty of times where I've looked at that. There's also been times where I looked at my kids as they laid in the bed, turned sideways, hair sticking up like this, drool coming out of their mouth, snot coming out of their mouth, and other things that I don't even want to talk about. And I looked at them and said, how in the world am I going to parent these kids and be the parent that I'm supposed to be? Jay, you really need to take notes on the marriage part. Okay. But listen, in my job, in the ministry, I've asked the same thing. How am I supposed to be the minister that I'm supposed to be? How am I supposed to be the youth pastor or the pastor? How am I supposed to lead worship the way that I'm supposed to? How am I supposed to lead in ministry the way that I'm supposed to? Parenthood, all of these things, even in my own walk with God. How am I supposed to keep myself on the right path? Has anybody else ever asked that question in your life? If you haven't asked that question, listen to me. This should be a question that each of us has asked at some time in our walk with Christ. Psalm 119:9. How can a young man or woman, let me put that in there. This is not just for the men. It is for men and women. How can we keep our way pure before God? How can we stay on the right path? If you have not asked that question at some point in your life, one of two things has happened. Either number one, you are the second coming of Christ, and I want to have lunch with you because I want to see you multiply my chicken dinner, okay? And I want to get to spend some time with the creator of the universe. But if you are not the second coming of Christ, you know what that tells me? If you have not asked that question, it tells me you're not as close to God as you really think you are. Some of y'all are going, man, that hit hard. It's supposed to. Because, see, if you have not asked the question, how can I keep my way pure? How can I grow closer to God? How can I draw near? How can I hold fast? How can I consider a community? How can I grow closer to God? If you have not asked that question, you are nowhere near as close to God as you think you are because you cannot see the difference between you and Jesus. Every day I draw closer to God, I'm reminded about how far I have to go. I've said it before, we have not arrived at the place where we are made perfect yet. If this is perfect, I don't want to see messed up. You got me? This thing keeps falling down on me. As long as we are continuing to draw near, hold fast, and living in community with other believers, our journey is not complete, and we have to protect our walk with God with fierce vigilance. The author of this psalm, which we believe that it was David, but we're not positive. It does not say that at the very beginning. The author does not name who he is. But the author of this psalm asked this question for us today. How can I stay right with God? What do I need to do to stay grounded in my relationship with him? And strong in my commitment, and steadfast in my beliefs while walking through my life here on this earth. What can I do? What's great is that he gives us the answer as well as the steps to apply the answer. Are you ready for the answer? Yes. Psalm 119, 9 and 10. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. Let's go back to the end of that first verse, that verse 9. Guarding. It means protecting. It means that your walk with God will be under attack. If you haven't watched TV lately, if you haven't watched what's going on in the political realm, if you haven't watched what's going on in the world around us, our faith is under attack. Your faith is under attack. On college campuses nowadays, we have college professors that try to talk kids out of serving God because they want to rationalize the fact that there is no God. And they're trying to turn things, and our faith is under attack. We have to guard our faith. But how do we guard our faith? And it says right in that scripture, according to your word. You cannot guard your faith without the word of God. Yeah, I brought the big family Bible in today. I normally don't bring one because I type all my scriptures out. But the thing is, I wanted you to see this right here is what guards you. This right here is what grounds you. This right here is what keeps us on the right path. We have to have it deep within us. We have to sit there and have it within our, we seek God with our whole heart. Let us not wander from your commandments. It says, according to your word, what the author is saying is, I want to know you, God. I want to know you completely, not just partially where I am incomplete in my devotion, but to love you with everything that I am and to do more than love, but to look for you, to search for you intently, continuously. Can I ask you just for a moment, when is the last time you opened this scripture and searched for God inside of something here that you needed? Search for who he was. Search for his vision. Search for his wisdom. Search for his direction. Not just looked at it and checked off the box and said, okay, I read my verse today. It's more than that. Are you with me? Your words and your instructions, this is what the author is saying. Your words and your instructions are more than just something that I know in my head, but I have to put them deep within who I am, in my heart, into my core being, my core beliefs, where no one can take them from me. That is the word of God. Are you with me? When we practice applying the word of God in our daily lives, it becomes more than just pages in a book and words on a page. It becomes more than just something slapped together in a leather-bound book. The words, the word is active. When we practice applying that word, it becomes active in our lives. It becomes something on the inside of us that steers us and guides us and helps us with the decisions that we make. Psalm 119:11 says, I have stored your word in my heart. Stored your word in my heart. Now listen, you may be smart enough to memorize every word in that book. Let me just tell you, I ain't. I barely know how to get to my house after we get done with service, okay? I'm the original Forrest Gump. I am not a smart man. But the thing is, that's the reason why I have so many references. That's the reason why I write down so much. But you may be able to memorize more than me. That's great. And it's awesome, and you need to memorize the word. There are certain verses that I can recall in a heartbeat. But the thing is, you can memorize it here, but if you don't hide it in your heart, if you don't hide it into who you are, it means become a part of your everyday life. You can know it here and never have it here. I remember getting online and watching. I'm getting off my notes, but I remember getting online and watching a pastor, I'm not going to call him a pastor. I don't even know his name, because I don't want to judge a heart. But I know this man, the way he made his living was going around to different churches, and he would basically just quote the Bible, verse for verse. Dude was incredible. But I don't want to just hear. You quote the scriptures. That's great. Anybody can quote scriptures. Satan quoted scriptures at Jesus. Satan quoted scriptures. You can quote scriptures all the day long, but if you don't have it hidden in your heart, it says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. It is hiding the word here that keeps us out of sin, not knowing it here. You can know all day long it's not good to cuss somebody out. But until you start practicing it, are you with me? I'm going to move on before I lose my place here. When we give the word a priority in our hearts, into the innermost parts of our being, it has an impact on what we do and how we act. Well, Pastor, if that's the case, then how do I make the word a priority in my life? You know what? That's why I love my church, because y'all ask the best questions. This particular passage answers that question for us today. And I'm done with my introduction. But the rest of it won't take long, because it's five things. Everybody say five things. There's five ways to prioritize and practice the Word of God that is in these scriptures that I want to talk to you about. The first one is be willing to learn the Word. And again, not here, but here. Not between the ears, but in the heart. Be willing to learn the Word. Let me say this, and you may want to write this down if you're taking notes. Your teachability will determine your capability. Your teachability will determine your capability. If you are not teachable, you're not going to go very far. If Maggie's a teacher down here, if she has a student inside of her class that refuses to learn and believes that they know it all and do it all and understand it all and all that kind of, they are not going to do very well in that class. You know why? Because they're not teachable. It doesn't matter how long you serve God. It doesn't matter how short of a time you serve God. If you're not teachable, then you're not going to be very capable when it comes to walking with Him. I am perpetually a learner. I try to learn every time I'm in a situation. Not because I'm smart. Not because I'm intelligent. Not because I'm talented in learning. Not because of my intellect or because it comes natural to me. I have to work at it. I was not a great student in school. I'll be honest with you. I was a C student. Everybody's like, and you're teaching us? Yes. God has a very funny sense of humor. Okay. I was a C student when I was in school. But the thing is, I worked hard at trying to learn. I've learned better how to study and better how to learn myself now. See, for years I convinced myself that I don't like to read. You ever heard somebody say that? I just don't like to read. I don't like to read. Well, that's no excuse. I don't like to get pulled over by the cops, but I do. I don't know why I went there, y'all. Let me put it this way. I don't like to be on the diet that I'm on right now because of the stinking doctor that has told me that I need to do some stuff. But you know why I'm doing it? Because it's good for me. Let me put it that way. That's a better way of putting it. I need to start writing down these illustrations so that I don't mess it up. You may not like to read. It may not be something that's your favorite thing to do, but it doesn't release you from the command of God to hide the word in your heart. There are ways around that, by the way. As a matter of fact, the YouVersion Bible app that you can get on your phone, Android or on iPhone, either one, it doesn't really matter. It will read you the scriptures. So don't tell me, well, I don't like to read. Well, you like to listen because you sit there and listen to the TV all day long. You listen to the radio when you're going down the road. Why not turn on the scriptures, let it read to you? Why not sit there and listen to someone do a devotional over your earbuds instead of sitting there listening to something else? I'm not saying that you got to be holier than now and you got to be floating in your truck on your way to work, okay? But what I'm saying is, why not take a little bit of time? I know I'm getting weird, yeah, y'all. But why not take a little bit of time out and say, you know what? I'm sacrificing this to hide the word in my heart today. You don't have to read an entire chapter. You don't have to read an entire book. All you got to do is read until God says, hey, pay attention to this. I think I've lost some of y'all. Listen. Be willing to learn. I have to work at reading. I have to work at learning. For years, I convinced myself I didn't like to read, and I was right. The first thing the author said, though, in verse 12 was, blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. do you want to learn? He looked at God and said, teach them to me. Sometimes you need the same lesson more than once. Teach them to me, God. Sometimes you got to go through the same valley more than once. Teach me, Lord. Sometimes you've got to go through the same situation over and over and over until you get it right. Teach me, God. Are you with me? Sometimes you got to read the scripture 5 or 6 times in order to understand everything. Teach me, Lord. The very phrase that he uses, where he says, teach me your statutes, says, I don't know it all, God. Teach them to me. Teach me what I'm supposed to do. The very phrase means that what you are saying when you refuse to spend time with God's word is, I know enough and I don't need anything else. When you say, I don't really care for reading, and you know what, I'm okay, you're telling God, you don't have anything to teach me. Listen, I'm stepping on my own toes because I need to make sure that I make time as well, y'all. Just because I'm a pastor don't mean I'm holy and I get up here and I just all of a sudden start speaking and words of God come out of my mouth. I study. I spend time in the Word. Why? Because I need to know more than what I know now. The author also uses that word statutes. Everybody say statutes. You know what that word means? It means limits. How are you going to learn the path that God has for you if you never study and find out where your limits are? Until you see the boundaries and the guardrails that he puts around our lives. There's a reason why he tells us certain things in this book. But the problem is we skim over it and we go, blah, 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 blah. Okay, I've read my Bible today. And we don't look at it as guardrails to keep us on the right path. Somebody say, teach me. We have to be willing to learn. Again, your teachability will determine your capability. Are you with me? God, show me where your limits are. Show me your guardrails. Show me your traffic signs. Learn the word. The second thing is be bold enough to speak the word. Everybody say, speak the word. I'm going to try to hurry from here on out, I promise you. Speak the word. According to studies, reading out loud strengthens cognitive and language skills and building vocabulary and comprehension. It improves fluency and pronunciation and develops crucial listening and critical thinking skills. In other words, reading out loud, saying it out loud, speaking out loud does something. It helps us, let me just wrap all of that up into this. It helps us understand better. You know what, Amy and I send her stuff to proofread a lot. And a lot of times she would send back to me, read this out loud. Because when I read it out loud, it doesn't make any sense. But when I read, when I take the scripture and I read it and I'm going, I don't really get that. And then all of a sudden, and see, that's the thing we don't understand about scripture. In the Jewish and Christian cultures, religions, in way back when, they were primarily oral societal structure. Stories were given by oral recitation. They were spoken. Okay? Reading something on a page is great, but when it is spoken out loud, something happens. Their stories and their traditions were passed down through the telling of the histories. In Psalm 119, 13, it says, with my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. Have you ever just sat down and read God's word out loud? Because something happens when you bring it into the physical realm. Something happens and it helps us. Something clicks inside of our brain sometimes. And all of a sudden we go, oh, that's what that means. When we speak God's word over a situation. Come on. How many of you have been sitting by a sick child's bed saying, God, by your stripes they're healed. By your stripes they're healed. How many of you have been going through a rough time and all of a sudden you look and you say, God, you said you would never leave me and you would never forsake me. A temptation comes up and you quote that scripture that says, he has paid every price for me. He has paid the price for my salvation. For I am crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I'm starting to get mixed up. Let me get back. When we speak that word, I'm not telling you to tell a lie. And if your arm is over here broke going, it's healed in the name of Jesus. Okay, if your arm is broke and you've got a bone sticking out, go to the doctor. He gave us a brain for a reason, y'all. You can pray and God can heal it. He can mend bones. He can do all of that. But also, use wisdom that God gave you. I'm not saying for you to lie or be delusional. I'm not wanting you to say, if you were in pain, walk around going, I'm not in pain in the name. I am not in pain. While you're crying. But what I am saying is, say, God, you paid the price for that healing. And it says in your word, and quote that scripture back to him. Quote his promises back to him. There are plenty of times, Amy has told me some things. Say, when we speak the word of God over our family, over our situation, over our finances, it sets into motion the promises and the purposes of God over us. Amy has told me plenty of times. There are certain times where she looks at me and she says, Aaron, say it. I just need to hear it. It's going to be okay. It's one thing for us to know everything's going to be okay. But when somebody looks at us and say, it's going to be okay. I remember there was a young girl in a ministry that I was a part of. And she came down to the altar for God to do something in her life. And I started praying for her. And God just sort of spoke to me and wanted me to tell her, it's not your fault. Now, if I had not spoken his word, it would not have released something into her. But I looked at her and I said, listen, I don't know if this makes any sense. I don't know what's going on. But God tells you, it's not your fault. The girl's eyes filled with tears and she broke down and she fell to her knees because something had happened to her years previous that nobody knew about, that she had blamed herself for. When you speak God's word over a situation, it releases an anointing. When you speak his scriptures over your situation, it releases his power, his presence, and his anointing over that situation. Are you with me? Can God do it without us speaking? Absolutely, but he wants to use us in that situation. Are you with me? Speak, sing, pray, shout, whisper God's words over every day, over yourself every single day. The word is meant to be coupled with life-giving breath. The word without breath is dead. It's meant to be coupled with it. The word is meant to be coupled with life-giving breath and spoken over the world for the world to hear. So, I've gone through two of them. Golly. The third one is take time to rejoice in the word. I love celebrating victories, especially when I've been going through a similar battle or a struggle. When I'm reading through scripture, there's times where I want to shout because of something that's going through that word. Are you with me? Because I may be going through a certain situation. I remember reading a certain part, and there was a certain situation that I was going through in my life. As a matter of fact, it was when DJ was little. I was sitting in a doctor's appointment, and there was a scripture that an author used that spoke to me. And I started rejoicing over that scripture. And next thing you know, I'm in the middle of this doctor's office, crying my eyes out with my hands raised, rejoicing. We need to learn to rejoice over the word of God. I love hearing how someone else made it through or come out on the other side. It energizes me. There's the song that we did today, Same God. I'm calling on the God of Jacob. Come on, y'all. I'm calling on the God of Moses. Separate the oceans. Come on. It gets me fired up. We need to rejoice over those situations because I need you now to do the same thing for me. Because it's a promise. Those stories are promises that, hey, I did it then, I can do it again. I did it way back when they had needed it, I'm going to be there when you need it. Those are promises that we can rejoice in, that we can lift up a song in. Come on. Psalm 119:14 says, in the way of your testimonies, in the way of your stories, in the way of when I look back and I read over the histories that you have provided inside of your word and inside of these situations where you have put them in my hands so that I can read them, so that I can be encouraged. It says right here, in the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. Listen, I do a dance and a jig when I find a dollar bill in the dryer. I'm going to dance so much more when I read about the things that God can do in my life, saying that I am not the tail, but I'm the head. I am not somebody that is defeated. I'm an overcomer. I am a conqueror. I am not the one that is bound by sin anymore. That's why we come in here and worship. That's why we stand and we sing these songs. I get on my youth all the time, tell them, listen, when we get into worship, stand up, give God at least a little bit of respect. Because I want to give him praise. I want to rejoice. And I want to sing that word. Practice going to Scripture and to God's words. And his instructions, his statutes, and finding testimonies of old. Rejoice that he has proven himself over and over and over and over and over in the word. And if he did it then, he can do it now. So rejoice in the word. The next one is allow God to focus the word. Allow God to focus the word. Everybody say focus. Jay, if you'll come. This is the one that I have a problem with sometimes. Because I have OSS. When I say OSS, that's the ooh something shiny. I don't call it ADD. It's just OSS to me. Because I can be going down the road Amy and I will be carrying on a conversation. She has made fun of me about this for so long. And I will see something that will remind me of something. And next thing you know, that thing reminds me of something else that happened. And that thing reminds me of something else that happened. We were driving down the road one day, and I went down the road. I was going down the road. I saw a sign for Ahab, Alabama. Or Arab, excuse me. Ahab, Alabama. Arab. Moby Dick, y'all. But Arab, Alabama. I was driving down the road. I saw this sign for Arab. And that reminded me of an old song. Ahab, the Arab, king of the burning sands. Y'all remember that? Everybody's like, why are you singing that in here? Because there's a point to this. And all of a sudden, I was thinking of that. Or actually, I saw the sign. It reminded me of Arab. And then it reminded me of tornadoes, and because there was a tornado that had just gone through Arab. And then the tornado reminded me of the song because of everything that went on in the song, King of the Burning Sands and all the sand and all the kinds of, and it just kept going and kept going and kept going. And next thing you know, I start singing that song, and Amy's like, how in the world did you get there? And I explained my thought process. And she said, there's something wrong with you. Then about 3 years later, we're driving down the road, and Amy's sitting next to me, and all of a sudden she goes, ah! And I'm like, what is wrong with you? I just about pull off the road. She said, I just did it. I thought of something that went to something that went to something that went to something. I don't know why I went into that story. I was not in my notes. Yes, I do. Talking about focus. We are so busy sometime in today's world. There's an illustration right there. We are so busy in today's world that sometimes we forget God has something deeper to teach us through His Word, and we don't focus long enough to let Him talk to us. There's something about taking time to concentrate on the Word. Psalm 119:15, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will meditate, not read, meditate. I will spend time. You know, at the end of a lot of the Psalms, there's certain parts of it that says Selah. Or Selah, however you want to say it. It means think about. Spend time in silence. Spend time letting God speak. See, we're real quick to tell God our list of do's and don'ts and our wants and our needs and all that kind of stuff. And when we're done, okay, God, I'm out the door. And we leave, and God is sitting there going, what about my turn? Because I've got some things I want to reveal to you through my word. That's why I keep a journal. If you're not a journaler, fine. But I find the best way to slow myself down is to put pen to paper or pencil to paper and allow God to speak to me about what He wants me to learn in that scripture that day. I don't read a lot. I read about a chapter a day. And that's about it. Why? You may be holier than me, and you may read an entire book. Have at it. This little brain right here needs to go a little bit at a time. I need bite size. I don't need a four-course meal. We need to take time to meditate on His precepts. Again, I will meditate on your precepts, and I will fix my eyes on your ways. When we take time to slow down and allow God to peel back the layers of His Word and His Scriptures, it helps us to focus our spiritual path in front of us. Go behind the shallowness of completing a required task and dig deeper into the instruction and the statutes that God has and that He has pronounced over our life. And it will bring His desires, His ways, and His path into a clear focus and keep that path before us. Last thing, remember the Word. Psalm 119:16, I will delight in your statutes. Again, there's that word statutes. I will, and it says I will delight. I'm not going to get mad about your limits you put on me. I'm not going to get mad on the fact that I don't get to act like everybody else. I'm not going to get mad because I can't watch the same stuff everybody else watches. I'm not going to get mad because I can't drink or do this or do that or but like everybody else does. I'm not going to get mad because I have to be different. But I'm going to delight in the limits you put in my life. I'm going to find joy in those limits. And I will not forget your word. See, that context of that is I will not willfully take it and ignore it. Remember His word. Remember to be a part of that. A phrase that always got under my skin when I was raising my kids was, I forgot. Now, I'll admit it, I've said that before, and there's some things I've forgotten about this week. Again, y'all, I'm 50 years old, and my brain ain't what it used to be. But my kids, I'd tell them to do something, and then 5 minutes later, have you done this? I forgot. It was 5 minutes, son. What were you thinking about? Candy? Listen, we cannot choose what we remember from God's Word. We have to strive to keep it before us. You know how you remember God's word? Keep it in front of you every single day. Not the whole thing. Again, bite size. Listen, to you, 10 verses. I challenge you this week, if you're not a regular reader of God's word, just 10 verses. Start in John. Start in John. Great book. Great history. But also great theology. And a great foundation. just start reading 10 verses a day and let God speak to you about those verses. If you're with me, say, I am. Stand with me today.
Thank you so much for joining us today, and we pray that you were blessed by the ministry of this podcast. Now, if you have any questions or comments, you can contact me personally at Pastor Aaron Argo at iCloud.com. And make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you'll know when we put out a new podcast and you can join us again. And as always, please remember, you belong here.